Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Gittin Daf Memhei. We begin on Memhei Amud Aleph at the two dots, which is three lines into the wider lines. We start off with the following Maisa. How Avda, the once was a Eved Kenani, the Orak Michutz LaOretz, who ran away from his master in Chutz LaOretz LaOretz to go to Eretz Yisrael. And as we said previously, a person who's living in Eretz Yisrael, we can't force him to go to Chutz LaOretz. So here, this Eved was hoping that when he runs away to Eretz Yisrael, he'll be able to stay there and be a free person. So what happened? The person who owned him, the master, the Rebbe of this Eved Kenani, Ozal went, Mare, the master went, Abasre, to go bring him back. And Rashi says, Lashivo b'chazaka, to even bring him back forcibly. He says, hey, you're my Eved, I'm taking you back where I live in Chutz LaOretz. So the owner of this slave went to Rav Ami and asked him, what should I do? Also, the Kameh, the Rav Ami, and he said, I'd like to bring back this Eved. So Amaleis, Rav Ami told him, you can't do that, because you're not letting go and take this person out of Eretz Yisrael. So instead, Nichtov Loch Shtara Adme, we will make sure that this Eved writes you an IOU. We're going to free him, as we'll see in a second. He'll write you an IOU. He doesn't have any money right now, but when he earns the money to pay for his value, we'll make sure that this IOU is collected. And in this way, you'll be compensated for the Eved, but we can't let him go back with you. And therefore, Uksov Le Gito De Cherusa, and you write him a Get Shichra. You write him a document saying that he's a free person. We'll make sure that he writes you this IOU, and then you'll be compensated. Because if you don't do this, if you don't give him a Get Shichra, you're going to lose him anyway. Vilo, Mifikna le minoch. We're going to take him away from you. Rashi says the real girsa over here should be Hochi Gasinam. Mifkano le minoch. We're going to take him away from you, based upon Midirebi Achi Virebi Yosha, based upon a drush that we're going to have from the psukim from Rav Achi, who was the son of Rav Yosha, which now we bring down a brisa that begins to discuss this drush. The first, the brisa quotes the psukim. The Tanakhama, the brisa says the Tanya Lo Yeshu Biartzicha Pen Yachtiu Osicha Li. The Gomer, the pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to let the goyim live in Eretz Yisrael if they're going to worship Avodah Zarah, because they're going to cause you to sin. Pen yachtiu osecholi, they're going to be doing the Avodah Zarah, and you're going to see what they're doing, and you may be chas v'shalom convinced to do the Avodah Zarah with them. So therefore, don't let them live in the land. Now, you might have thought that this applies to any guy, even a Ger Toshav. You might have thought that this pasuk should be darshan to not allow any guy live in Eretz Yisrael, even a guy that's not going to be doing Avodah Zarah. He's a regular Ger Toshav. He believes in the Zayin Mitzvah Bnei Noah, and he believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't do Avodah Zarah. So you might have thought even such a guy can't live in Eretz Yisrael. That's why we have another pasuk that teaches that they can. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, Lo Saskir Eved El Adonav. You're not allowed to go and return an Eved who is trying to save himself back to his master. No, so what should you do? My takana. So what do you do with this Eved now? So the pasuk says, no, you let him live with you. In other words, the Tanakam over here in this Brisa is darshing this homiletically to say that this is referring to an Eved that has run away from his master, and we'll see Rav Achi, who is the son of Rav Yosha, is going to darshan this to say that this Eved who ran away from his master in Chutz LaOretz to Eretz Yisrael, don't return him to his master, let him stay in Eretz Yisrael. That would be the drasha. Now, this is the implication that we're saying over here. Rav Yosha, the father of this Rav Achi, Rav Yosha, didn't like this interpretation. Rekash Lele Rav Yosha, he said, wait a second, the words that you darshan in this pasuk, that it said, Lo Saskir Eved El Adonav, Asher Yinotzel Elecha Mim Adonav, that you shouldn't return this Eved back to Me'im Adonav, it doesn't make sense. He says the wording, Hay Me'im Adonav, isn't the right wording. It should have more correctly said, Me'im Oviv Beboile. If you're darshaning it the way you are, it should have said that you shouldn't return him back to his father, meaning the Avodah Zarah is referred to as his father. Alternatively, on the side, the Gears of Masar Sasa says it should be Elokab, a more appropriate way to describe not returning him to the Avodah Zarah, if that's the way you want to go and understand this. If you're saying we're talking here about a Ger Toshav, so to say, that it's talking about a person who's not worshipping Avodah Zarah, so then it should have specifically stated, instead of Miyim Adonav, it should have said Miyim Aviv or Miyim Elokav. So therefore, El Omer of Yoshi says the way to homiletically understand these psukim is B'molcher Abdo L'chutz L'aretz HaKos B'daber, that if a person sells his Eved to somebody outside of Eretz Yisrael, that's the rabbinical knas that we were discussing in yesterday's shiur. That's what Yoshi wants to say. This is an asmachta to that knas. But his own son doesn't like that pshat. V'kashalele Rav Achi bir Yosha. Rav Achi, the son of Rav Yosha, said to his father, then the pasuk also doesn't seem to fit according to your interpretation. Hi, asher yinotzel elecha, when you're saying that the pasuk says that he was saved by you, so asher yinotzel me'imach b'boyle, he was saved from you, it should have said, meaning from the person who tried to sell him. So therefore, he doesn't like that interpretation of his father, Ella. And here we have the proof that Rav Achi Rav Yosha, Ella Amar Rav Achi Rav Yosha, we're dealing here homiletically with darshining this psukim, the Evet Shabarach Michutz Laretz Yisrael, Laretz, Hakos V'Daber, and therefore that is what Rav Ami told this person who came to go collect his slave by force, who had run away to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Ami told him, based upon this drasha, Rav Achi Rav Yosha, that the pasuk tells us that if a slave runs away from Chutz Laretz Eretz Yisrael, though we shouldn't give him back, so therefore, Rami said, I'll make sure that you get compensated. We'll write the IU, but you have to give him a get shechor because homiletically we're dashing this pasuk, and this is the asmach to the idea that we don't let him leave Eretz Yisrael. If he wants to come to Eretz Yisrael, we let him stay there. Okay. This was the way that Rav Achi, Rav Yosha, understood the psukim. Rebbe understood the psukim, he dashed them homiletically in a different way. Tanya Idach, we learn in another brisa, the pasuk says, Lo saskir eved al donov. What does that mean? So Rebbe Omer, belokeach eved, al menas l'shachiro, that this is a person goes and purchases a slave, not for the purposes of keeping the slave as an eved, but for the purposes of freeing him. So that's what it means. This person who bought him to free him, so he has to let him go free. And what are we talking about? Hechidami, Samar of Nachum Yitzchak, Rebbe's telling us the cost of Lehochi, that when Rebbe is adashing the pasuk to say that you let this person, the slave, go free, it was purchased al menas l'shachro, they wrote in the document of purchase the following words, when I go and purchase you, I'm purchasing you, it's as if you are freed at the moment of the purchase. And therefore, from right now, when I do the purchasing, that's when you're free, and therefore, that's why Rabbi said that the psukim are referring to somebody who was purchased, al menas l'shachro, that he goes free. Now, Maisa Shohaya, to see which of these two interpretations was the one that was followed in practice. So Rav Chisda Arekle Avdo LeBekusoy. Rav Chisda, who lived outside of Eretz Yisrael, lived in Bavel, had one of his servants run away to Bekusoy. That's the place where the Kusa lived, also, Rashi points out, outside of Eretz Yisrael. That was in Chutz La'aretz. Both of them were Chutz La'aretz. Rashi says, the Bekusoy was in Chutz La'aretz, and Rav Chisda Nami, Bavel Hava, was also Chutz La'aretz. So Rav Chisda sent to the people in Bekusoy, to these Kusa that lived over there, Shalach Lu, he sent to them, Hadrua Niali, send me back my Evet. It's my Evet, whatever documentation he gave to prove that, so send the Evet back to me. So Shalach Lu, so they responded to him, hey, this Pasuk, Lo Saskir Evet, I'll do not, we're not allowed to return the Evet to you. So the Kusim were very literal. They literally said, the Pasuk says, we're not allowed to return the Evet to you. Now, it's in parentheses, the next thing, but it doesn't change anything around, so we can say, so Shalach Lu, so he sent back to them, no, there's a Pasuk that says, V'chein ta'aseh l'chamaro, v'chein ta'aseh l'simoso, v'chein ta'aseh l'chol abadas l'chicha, you got to go and return them. So the Pasuk tells us that you got to go and return the lost property. So the pasuk says you'll have to return it. And they said, no, shohulei, lo saskir, evel adonav. That may be great for the chamor, that may be great for the simla, and any other avei de sochicha, but not for an evet, because the pasuk says, literally, lo saskir, evel adonav. So Rav Chisda sends back to them one more time, Shalach Lui sends to the Bekusoy people, Halu, that pasuk is referring to evet shabarach mechutz olaris laretz. That's only referring to an evet that went from outside of Eretz Yisrael, chutz laretz, to Eretz Yisrael, as Chidrav Achi b'Rebbe Yosha just darshan. And that fits more the literal meaning of the words, and therefore that's why Rav Chisda told him this pshat. And the Gemara asks, why didn't he explain the pasuk in the way that Rebbe did? So that would have been also an explanation why the Lo Saskir shouldn't be darshan the way they did. So Mishum Demashlu cried, because this is a more literal understanding of the pasuk, and the Kusim were famous for, unfortunately, not using the drashas of Chazal to understand what's going on in the pasuk. They took the psukim literally. So therefore, he gave them back a more literal answer. That's why he darshaned it like Rav Achi Baroshia, rather than the way Rebbe darshaned the pasuk. Okay. Another maysa, Abaye irkas lechamra bekusoi. Abaye lost a donkey to those same people that lived in Bekusoy. The donkey ran away over there, so he sent to them, Shalach Lu, he sent to the people of Bekusoy, hey, please, Shadru Ali, send me back my donkey. It's my donkey. No, they sent to him, Shalach Lu, Shlach Simana, tell us a simon about your donkey, and then we'll be happy to send it back to you. So, Shalach Lu, so Abaye sent back to them the chivra kreise. It has a white stomach. Ah, shol chulei. They said back to him, ilad de nachmeni atib. You aren't the great Abaye. Abaye we discussed a few days ago. Either his real name was Nachmeni, and when he was adopted by Rabba Bar Nachmeni, so Rabba didn't want to call this adopted son by his father's name, because there is a problem in calling somebody, even not your father, by your father's name. So therefore we call him Abaye, which basically meant Abba. Or alternatively, that he was naming him after his father, that Abaye, to give honor to his father, so he called him Abaye, you're my father. In other words, he gave him the name Nachmeni. In other words, Abaye was known as Nachmeni. Other reasons as well. In any event, so the people in Beikusai said, if you aren't the great Abaye, as Rashi says, Kilomar, Makirin Anu Bechosh Chosirato, we know that you are an unbelievably righteous person, Velotashaka, and there's no way that you would lie. And therefore, even though the simon you sent us is not a good simon, we, because you are a person who is of impeccable honesty and there's no way you would lie, so we will return it to you. But if you aren't you, lo havi mishadruna le niyaloch, because atu kule chamre lav kresayu chivruin nenu, because we wouldn't return it to you based upon this simon, because the simon that you gave us is like saying, well, the donkey had four legs, so therefore it's my donkey. When you said that it has a white stomach, don't all the donkeys have these white stomachs? And therefore, that wasn't really a good simon. But since you're Abaye, you're Nachmeni, and therefore we trust you implicitly, so therefore we will go and return it to you, even though technically we don't have to. Now, that's, again, I put as an aside over here, that's the way a Jew should be thought of, that he's an impeccably honest person, and that even people who are against the Jews, the Kusim were not the friends of the Jews, so nevertheless, they recognize the honesty and the greatness of a Talmud Chacham like Abaye, and were willing to return him something when technically they didn't have to. Okay, next Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, "Ain't poldin says shvuyim yosir al kidei demehen." You're not allowed to go and return a purchase back to do pigeon shvuyim of a person who's been captured for more than the value of that person. Why not? Why can't you pay an exorbitant amount of money? Mipnei tikkun olam. Because of this concept of tikkun olam, which the Gemara will discuss momentarily, what exactly that means. Okay. Then it continues the Mishnah by telling us, "Ein mavrichin es hashvuyim." You're not allowed to help them escape the captives. You're not allowed to go and help them to get away from the people that kidnapped them. Why? Again, mipnei tikkun olam, which the Gemara will explain. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, mipnei takonas hashvuyim, because of our concern about the shvuyim who are still there. So if you let one of the 10 people that they captured get away, they're going to make life miserable for the other 9 people. Gemara again will discuss exactly what this means. So let's start. Gemara says, Ibailu. They ask, what does it mean when we said in the ratio of the Mishnah, Ein hapadui, ein podin sashvuyin, yosu, akadei demeyem, mipnei tikkun olam, you're not allowed to go redeem people that are captured for more than they're worth because of this tikkun olam. What does that mean, mipnei tikkun olam? So they ask, Ibailu, hai mipnei tikkun olam, mishum dochako ditziburhu. Does it mean because they're going to cause a financial distress to the community? If they have to go and redeem them, everybody's going to have to pay, and everybody's going to be impoverished. As Rashi says, "Ein lonu l'dcho katzibor ulavi olidei anios mishul elu." So they're going to say, "We want $5 billion for this servant." You know, the small little shtot, they have $100 to the name, all collectively. So they're going to have to go into hak. So because of tikkun olam means duchako ditzibor, because we don't want to impoverish the tzibor. That's why we don't allow you to go and pay these exorbitant sums. You can only pay their value. Or this second possibility is Odilma Mishum Delo Ligrivu Velaisu Tvei. Hey, they'll say this is a good business, as Rashi says, Delo Yimsuov de Kochavim Navshayu Viligrivu Velaise Tvei Mimeshimokun Usum Bioke. They'll say, hey, this is a great business to go into. Kidnapping Jews makes you a lot of money, so it's going to cause them to kidnap more Jews. And therefore, we don't allow this Mimne Tikkun Olam, that they shouldn't cause kidnapping of more Jews. Now, which one is the right answer? Tashma, we'll try to bring a riot from the following story. The Levi Bar Darga, there was a certain person who was very wealthy. Parko Livrate, his daughter was taken captive over here by these captors, and he redeemed his daughter for a huge amount of money. Betleisar Alfi, 13,000 dinars of dinarim of gold. So in other words, he paid an exorbitant amount of money. Oh, what do you see? He wasn't asking the tzibur to do this. He did it out of his own pocket. So this was allowed. Mustama, this was allowed. So therefore, the reason is because of duchako ditzibura. And he wasn't causing the tzibur to become impoverished, so an individual can go pay as much as he wants. That's not a problem. The reasoning of the lo ligru laisu tvei, that they're going to go capture more people, apparently is not the reason, because that would have applied over here as well. Hey, they'll say this is a good business, they'll capture more people. So we see that the reasoning is because of Docha Kedusibura from this story. That's what the Gemara wants to suggest, but Abaye doesn't like this. On Abaye says, no, who says that Levi Bar Darga did what he did with the approval of the Chachamim? Uman Leimalon Dibaratzon Chachamim Avad. Maybe Dilma Shalobaratzon Chachamim Avad. This Levi Bar Darga loved his daughter, and he says, I'm willing to pay a lot of money for her. Maybe the rabbis say, listen, this is going to cause them to go kidnap more people. And the real reason is, the lo ligravu v'laisu tvei. So you weren't allowed to do this. No, he didn't listen, and he did it. So therefore, you can't bring us a right from the story of Levi ben Darga. We don't know if he did this with the rotzon of the chachamim or not. Now, there's an interesting tosis over here, the second tosis, the lo ligravu v'laisu. Tosis brings down, wait a second, we had stories, well, the Tanya, the Perek Nara Hamurasa, we had in the Moran Ksubos, that there was a Nara that was Nishbase, and you're allowed to go and redeem her for a huge exorbitant amount of money. And therefore, why was he allowed to do this? For his Nara Hamurasa, for his wife that was only even the first stage of marriage. So Tosis answers, the Gemara there said, Shiny Ishto, your wife is different. Davi Kegufo. We have the famous line, Ishto Kegufo. It means it literally or figuratively. A person's allowed to go spend all his money on himself, and he can spend all his money on his wife. Yoser Mibito. That's more than the daughter. So a person can spend an exorbitant amount of money to redeem his wife, even though he may not be allowed to spend that same amount of money to redeem his daughter. The Hocha, the Chol Atzmo, Lo Tiknu, Shalo Yitain, Kol Asholo, Bi'ad Nafsho. Because for yourself, you're allowed to do this, and your wife is like yourself. That's the first interesting thing Tosus tells us. Then he says another thing, Vishub and Chananya, the Park Elahu Tinok, B'mamon, Harbe. There was a famous story in the Gemara, Hanizokin, where there was a very, very precocious young child who grew up to be a huge Talmud Chacham, and Vishub and Chananya saw the potential in this child, and he redeemed him from the Goyim, who captured him for an exorbitant amount of money. How is he allowed to do that? So the answer Tosus gives us for the Gemara over there in Hanizokin is Lafi Shahoya Muflog B'chochma. He recognized he would be a Gadol Hadar. He grew up to be a huge, huge Tana. Or alternatively, Inami B'shas Churban Abayis Rachmon al-Islam. This was at the time that the Goyim were persecuting us like crazy. And we didn't have to worry about spurring them to do more kidnappings. They did kidnappings every day. Lo Shayach Rachmon al-Islam, the Lo Givru. There was no concern that, this will cause them to do more kidnappings. They were doing kidnappings anyway. They're doing whatever they wanted, Rachmon al-Islam anyway. So therefore, that didn't apply. Okay, Gemara continues and tells us, we said in the Mishnah, in the second part of the Mishnah, and that was the Tanakh Kama of the second part of the Mishnah telling us, because of the Tikkun Olam, that we don't go and free captives. And Rishon Gamliel had come along and said, Rishon Gamliel, Omer, Mipnei Takana Shruim, because of the concern of the captives that are left behind. Not the general concern of society, but the captives left behind. Nu, what's the Nafkamina? My Binayu. What difference does it make which opinion you go like? So the Gemara says, we're dealing here, a nafkamina, ika benayu, deleko elochad, when there's only one captive and you help that one captive to escape. As Rashi says in Dibur Maaseh, deleko elochad, shavi, there's only one shavi there, and the Tanakama, who's chayish letikun olam, so he's saying, I'm worried about the rest of the world. Kulo, shema yikbetsu al hashvuyim ho asidim lavo, that, you know what, if we help this single captive to escape, well, next time they go capture somebody, you know what they're going to do? They're going to put him in chains and in ditches. So make sure that that guy doesn't escape. So I'm worried, the Tanakhama says, about the future captives in the world. So even though there's only one captive over here, I'm concerned about future captives and therefore don't help the captive escape. No, lo chayish. He's only concerned, elim kinyesh shivuyin acherim imo. He's only concerned that there, let's say, 10 people that were captured. You help one escape, they're going to make life miserable for the other 9. Shama yikzifu hashavoyin liyasun bisur. They're going to jump on the remaining 9 and say, well, you must have helped in the escape over here, so we're going to give you. And they're going to treat them horribly. So therefore, when there's only one, Rishon Gamliel is not concerned. There are no other people that were captured to be treated horribly. Okay, Mark continues and tells us a famous story. Bansei de Rav Nachman, Bachashon Kidro Biyadayu. The daughters of Rav Nachman, they were able to stir a hot pot with just their hands. They didn't use a stirring spoon. They would stir the pot with their hands. In other words, they must have been, at least that's the way it been, extremely righteous women. We have a story of various Amorim that went into an oven and weren't burned. Their wives went in the oven and weren't burned because of all the great tzidkus. So these daughters of Rav Nachman, on the surface, as we'll see, it's only on the surface, it looked like they were great, great Noshim Sidkonios, and they were able to stir a hot pot with just their hands without using a spoon. Well, this presented a problem to Rav Ilish. Kachalei Rav Ilish, he said, I don't understand. The Pasuk in Kohelet tells us, Ksiv, you can only find one good man in 1,000. And a woman, forget it. You won't even find one good woman in 1,000. So what's going on over here? really said, Ha, Ika, Banse, the Rav Nachman. You have these wonderful girls of Rav Nachman. So they are clearly worthy of having a nace done for them. The Ben Yoyada, which we'll discuss a lot more, his understanding of this Gemara. So he says, Rav Ilish was surprised because HaKadosh Baruch Hu normally doesn't use a nace for a woman in this type of a way. This was an unusual situation to make a nace. And that's why he said these women must be unbelievably great women. How do you understand the pasuk in Koheles? So because of his questioning their greatness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this mice happen. Garma lehu milsa vishtaboyon. So because he should see that these women were not really righteous, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the whole thing happen, that those women were captured, and he too was captured with them. Vishtaboy ihu nami badayu. Hashem made it occur. These daughters of Rav Nachman were captured, and Rav Ilish was captured as well, and they're all in the same captivity. So Yom Echad, one day, Rav Ilish was sitting there with another one of the captives who understood the language of the birds. And all of a sudden, a raven comes to them, also Urva, a raven is Urva, they're called Karilei, and goes and calls out in bird language to Rav Ilish. But of course, Rav Ilish doesn't understand what he's saying. So he says to the other guy who understands the language of the birds, Amalei, my comma. He asked this man who understood the language of the birds, no, what's the bird saying? What's this raven saying? So Amalei, so this person who understood the language of the birds says to Rav Ilish, the bird is saying, Ilish brach, Ilish brach, Ilish run away, Ilish run away. We'll explain in a moment why he says it twice. In any event, Amar, so Rav Ilish says, ah, Urva shikrohu. The Urva is not known as a trustworthy bird. The Urva is a raven, is a liar, and therefore, lo samich nale. I'm not going to take it to heart that he says to run away, that now's a good time to run away. No. Adahachi, meanwhile, also Yonah, a dove comes, they're called Karya, and was also chirping. And Rav Ilish didn't understand what he was saying. So Amalei said to the guy that understands the language of the birds, my karma, what's the bird saying? Amalei, this guy says to Rav Ilish, the bird, the dove says also, Ilish brach, Ilish brach. Again, the double law shown, Ilish run away, Ilish run away. Now, this is a dove, so Rav Ilish says, Knesset Yisrael, Kiyona Mesila. We are compared to a dove, therefore, this bird must be telling me something that's true. The raven I didn't trust, but this bird's telling me something true. We'll have to see why did the Kosh Baruch then say the raven if he wasn't going to listen to him. In any event, Shema Mina, I see from here, Misrach Shli Nisa, because this was the dove that was saying this, that Kosh Baruch is going to make a nace for me, I'll be successful in escaping, and he runs away. But before he runs away, he says, Omar, Ezel Erse Banse the Rav Nachman, I Kaimon Behemun Nesayu Adrinu. If they are still righteous women, in other words, they didn't voluntarily do any of it with their captors, so then I will take them back with me. It's a good time to take them back. So he went to say, to find out if they're good or not. So he said, Omar, Noshe, women in general, how I find out if they were true to their husbands and they didn't do anything immoral with the captives. Komila de Islu, Sadrun Hadad de Besakise. Mustama, they're going to talk in the bathhouse. So they're going to talk in the Besakise, and I'll listen in on them. So he went to the Besakise, hides outside the Besakise, and he's waiting to hear what these women, the daughters of Rav Nachman, are saying to each other. So Shaminu, he hears them saying the Kamran that they said, no, Ade. The Rashi says the Lashon of Ade means Elu, these men. Ade Guvrin, these men who have captured us, they now are husbands. Unardoi Guvrin. And we had husbands previously that were our husbands in Ardoi. No, these husbands are just as good as those husbands. What difference does it make? Let us tell these husbands, we're happy over here now. Lemalu Lishabuyahu. Let us tell these people who captured us, who are now our husbands, the Lirach Kidnu Mehocha, to get as far away from Nardoi as possible. The Lo Laisu Inshin, the Lishmaya Lifrikinon. That people shouldn't hear that we're captured and our husband shouldn't come and go and free us. So we're happy where we are. No, in other words, he saw that they weren't big tzaddikim. They weren't Noshim Sikonios. They had succumbed to their captivity and now were willingly being with these husbands, their captors. So he goes away on his own. Come, Arak. So he leaves without taking them with him. So he takes the guy that knew the language of the birds with him. Also, you, Val Gavra. So both he and this person who knew the language of the birds were able to escape. But they had to cross a river. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace. Ludidei Yisrach Shlei Nisa and Adar Bimavra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace of Rav Ilish. Doesn't say what the nace was, but he was able to pass over to the river to get to the other side. As Rashi says, Me'ever Hamayim, V'lo Yochlu La'Sigwot, and they couldn't run after him anymore. He got to the other side. However, the guy that knew the language of birds, Vahu Gavra, he didn't make it, and Ashkechua, they did find him, V'kadluah. And the people who had captured him in the first place went and killed this guy. So, Ki Adron, eventually, the husbands did go and redeem their wives. They didn't run away, as the wives had suggested that we should tell their captors to go and run away. And the husbands did redeem them. The Marashah says it was against their will. Ki Adron, so they went back. But also, And now we're back in the town where Revilis was, where they lived. So Amar, so Revilis said, I see now. Havu ka bachasha and kidra, how were they able to go stir the hot soup with their fingers only and not with a spoon? It must have been bichshav, it must have been with black magic. They weren't, in fact, noshim sitkanios. That is a fascinating story. Let's understand it through the eyes of the Ben Yoyada, who has many insights on the story. We'll just say a couple. So number one, he says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu send the Orev, the raven? It seems to have no purpose. So he answers that this was to make the other person listen, this Rav Ilish's friend, this person who spoke to the birds. So if there's only one message that came, so he might think it was only for Rav Ilish. But now that there were two, so he would understand to go along as well. And we would see from here the nace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only allowed Rav Ilish to escape and not this other person. And part of the purpose of this was to show that he was a tzaddik gomer. Rav Ilish was truly a tzaddik gomer, that such a thing would happen to him, that he should be captured, was all for a purpose, and to show him that his concern about how could there not be the pasuk in Kohelet saying that there were these righteous women that would have these miracles occur to them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace over here that Rav Ilish would see what would happen. Why the double lashon? So he gives four reasons for why there was this double lashon of Baruch Ilish, Baruch Ilish. So number one, it shows a chavivus, when you double up something. So we say, for example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to Moshe, Moshe, Avram, Avram. So he mentions the name twice, that shows chavivus. So to over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demonstrating his chavivus to Rav Ilish. Also, it means to do it with alacrity, to do it immediately. It's a double lashon. We often say, Sakoy Sakel, Dibra Torah B'lashon B'nei Adam. According to that opinion, it says the Torah speaks in human words, so to say, in the typical language and expressions that we use. So a double lashon shows an emphasis to do this with mihiris, to do this with alacrity. Third reason he gives is that this would be that only you would be saved, that you specifically and not somebody else, not this friend who was telling him the language of the birds, and not the daughters of Rav Nachman, they wouldn't be saved in this fantastic manner. And that's why, in fact, Rav Ilish had said, if you look at the language carefully, he said, Shema mino misrachesh li nisa, for the fact that the dove and the raven had come. So he saw from this double lashon and from the two types of birds that came, so he saw that this would be a nes specifically for him. Finally, the fourth and final statement is that this is an idea to show emes. When you repeat something, it's emes. The power, for example, had his dream twice, so therefore that shows that this is emes and this is true. And that's a little take of this from the Ben Yoyada. Now we're going to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us the Engelochim Svarim Tefillin Mezuzos Min Avdei Kochavim Yoser Al Kedei Demehem. The Mishnah tells us that you're not allowed to go and take purchase from Goyim who have in their hands these Svarim, Sifrei Torah, or Tefillin, pair of Tefillin, or Mezuzos from Goyim, because, as we'll see, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, as we turn to Memhei Omud Beis, because of this concept again of Tikkun Olam, which the Gemara will now give two reasons for what this Tikkun Olam might be. And we'll see this side in a minute. The bottom line is that you can't go and purchase from the Ovi Kochavim who has them in his possession a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzah. Rashi quickly goes through the two reasons that we'll see in the Gemara. He says, Imishum dochek ha-tzibur, because we don't want the tzibur to be extorted. They're going to see the guy that, oh, the Jewish people pay a lot of money for these things, so therefore, let's go and steal more. And therefore, it will cause an impoverization of the Jewish community. Or alternatively, Mishum delo ligravu v'lai sutfei, because if they see that this is successful, they'll keep on going and stealing more. So therefore, either because we're concerned if they pay an exorbitant amount of money that the Jewish people, the Tzibur, will be impoverished, or that they will continue to go and do this and they'll impoverish them even further. Okay, Gemara starts off and says, Amalei Rabudja l'Ravashi. Rabudja says to Ravashi, Yeser al kidei demeyan. The Mishnah said that to pay an exorbitant amount of money, a lot more than their value, you're not allowed to do. Hu dein lokem, that you can't do. Implication being, ha bichdei demeyan lokem, that you are allowed to go and pay them the true value of the Sefer Torah, the Tefillin, and the Mezuzos, that's not a problem. So he therefore says, Shmami, no, you see, that Sefer Torah, Shinimtsa, B'yad, Ovi Kochavim, Korimbo. So it looks from our Mishnah that the reason why he purchased it back from them is because it's a perfectly valid Sefer Torah. And just because the guy had it, you don't have to be concerned that, as Rashi says in Dibur Masel Korimbo, V'lo Chayshinon, Shemo Hukisavu. We don't have to be concerned that maybe the guy wrote the Sefer Torah, and he wrote it, L'shem Avodas Kochavim. He wrote, quote, the Tal Testament. He's writing this because he believes it's for something else. And this, as we'll see, Rashi says, Upluksa Hilakame. This would be a machlokas that we'll have upcoming in the Gemara. So Rav Budya says to Ravashi that you see from our Mishnah that in fact that we don't have to be concerned that the guy wrote it not L'shem Shemayim, and he wrote it for alternative purposes because of the fact that the Mishnah says that you can buy it back from him Mistama Korimbo. It must be that you're allowed to go, in fact, and read it. So what says Lavdavka Dilma Lignos? Maybe the reason is that we have to go and hide the Sefer Torah. We're concerned that maybe it's a valid Sefer Torah, but we're concerned that it's not. So you can't go and read it, but you have to go and purchase it from him in order that it should be treated properly, and you have to put it in a Gneza. Mark continues and tells us, Omer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Nikitino, we have a Mesorah, Sefer Torah, Shekisavu Min, Yisarev. If a Sefer Torah was written by a Min, what is a Min? So Rashi reminds us that a Min is Ha'oduk Biavodus Kochavim, Kigon Kumar. This is the priest, this is the true believers of the Goyim. So they're writing a Sefer Torah. They're not writing it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're writing it to whatever Getchka, whatever idol or multiple deities or non-true deities that they are believing is the source of this Sefer Torah. And therefore, you have to burn it. It has no Kedusha. You're sorry. On the other hand, Kisavo Ovi Kochavim, if a, quote, regular idolater wrote it, so then we have to go and put it in Geniza, Yigonis, because as Rashi points out, there's a chance that maybe Sofek Kisavo L'Shem Shemayim, and maybe it was written properly. And therefore, you can't go and burn it, but you can't go and read from it because maybe it wasn't. Now, Rav Nachman continues and he tells us, Nimso B'Yad Min, if you find the Sefer Torah not written by the Min, but the Min has it in his possession. So then, we don't know. Did the Min go and write this, or did the Min find this? So as Rashi says, Nimso B'Yad Min Yigonis. We go and put it away. Put it in the Geniza, you put it in Shemus. Because maybe Sofek Kisavo, Sofek Mitzal, the Kashu. Maybe he wrote it, and then you'd have to burn it, but maybe he found it, and it's really Kashu Sefer Torah, and you can't go burn it. So therefore, you hide it away, Yigonis. Nimtzav Yadov Yichavim, if you find the Yadov Yichavim, so then we have a Machlokis. Amalei Yigonis, Amalei Kornbo. Some say you just have to hide it away, and Rashi will explain why in a second. Others say, no, you can read from it, it's perfectly Kashu. So if you look in Rashi, in Dibur Maschel, the Amalek Korinbo. So he says, the reason why you might be able to use it is because the Svek Sveko. He says the Svek Sveko. Maybe number one, Shema Yisrael Ksavo. It was written by Yid, and it's perfectly good to read from. And number two, even the Imtim Salomar Hakisavo, maybe the guy did write it, maybe Shema Limkol Yisrael Ksavo, and he wrote it L'Shem Shemayim. V'lo L'Shem Avodas Kochavim, and he didn't write it for idolatrous purposes, and therefore it's a Svek Sveko. So Rashi says that's why the opinion says that you can read it. The opinion says that you can't read it, you have to hide it away, is because just Sveko, Shema Hu Kisavo. Maybe he wrote it, and it's not good. So that's the machlokis over here. Tosus doesn't like Rashi's explanation of Svek Sveka. He says it doesn't make sense that it's a Svek Sveka. And therefore, he says that the reasoning is because it's much more likely that it was written by a Yid than it was written by a guy. If you find the Sefer Torah, the overwhelming likelihood is written by a Jew and not by a guy. And therefore, that's why he says the opinion that says Amalei Korinbo says that's the reason why, but not because it's Svek Sveka. Mark continues and says, Sefer Torah Shekisavo Ovi Kochavim, if a guy wrote a Sefer Torah, we have three different opinions. One Brisa says, Tani Chada Yisarev, that you go and burn it. We'll have to explain why in a moment. The second opinion, Tani Yidah, the Brisa says, Yigonis, you hide it away, put in a Gnisa. The Tani Yidah, the third opinion, says, Korinbo, you're allowed to go and read from it. Now, why do we have three opinions? They're not a steerer between them. They're all talking about different scenarios. So, Lo Kasha, the Gemara says it's not a problem that there are three different opinions. That opinion that said the first one, Tani Chada Yisarev, Chada Tani Yisarev, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer hold? The Omar. He says, Stam Machsheves Ovi Kochavim Avodah Zarah. He says, it was written Stam for Avodah Zarah purposes, and therefore you have to presume, unless you know explicitly otherwise, that it was written for Avodah Zarah purposes, and therefore it has to be burned. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. That's the first Brisa. Aye, the second Brisa of Avodah Tani Yigonez. How do you reconcile that? So, Hai Tanahu, the Tani, Rav Amnuna, Berei, the Rav Me Pashrunya. This was a Brisa that was recorded by Rav Amnuna in the name who was the son of Rava, who came from a place, Rashi says, the name of a place, Pashrunya. And he says, this Brisa says as follows, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, if you have either Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, Shekisavan Min, that were written by Min. Now, some are not Goris Min over here, because the Min, as we pointed out, should be Yisarif, and these are going to be Yiganes, so some delete the word Min over here. As we see, it's in parentheses. And a Musar, a person who's a Moser, he's a Malshin, Rashi says, a person who Nebuch informs on other Jewish people to the government, or an Ovi Kochavin, a guy, the Evet, or an Evet Kanani, or an Isha, a woman, or a Katan, a person who's not yet the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah, the Kusi, a person who is, as Rashi says, the Geri Aroyos, with an Aleph, not with an Ayin. They were the Kusin, who is questionable whether their conversion was a real conversion, because they only converted because the lions attacked them. Or a Yisrael Mummer. Rashi explains that the Yisrael Mummer is Parku Me'aleim Ol. They no longer believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rechmona Lutzlan. So all of these are psulim to write a Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, or Tefillin. And this is based upon the pasuk shenemar ukshartem lios hayadecha v'yulutot v'os beinecha usavtom al mezuzot beisecha v'shirecha. So you have the words ukshartem and you have the words uksavtom. So it teaches us kol sheyeshno bikshira yeshno biksiva. If you're included in the mitzvah putting on tefillin, then you're included in the mitzvah of writing of ksiva. of not only mezuzah, but of Sefer Torah and Tefillin as well. But somebody that's not included, the Choshe Eino B'Kshir, if you're not included in the mitzvah of putting on Tefillin and B'Kshir, then you're not allowed to go and write any of the Stam, any of the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and mezuzahs. And Rashi explains that all of these people that we mentioned in the Spraisa, leaving aside the Min for a second, because again, many are not Goris there, so all of them are not included in the mitzvah of putting on Tefillin. As Rashi explains, the Eved, Isha, aren't included in Kshira because it's a mitzvah man grama. And you don't put on tefillin at night, you don't put on tefillin Shabbos, and therefore it's time dependent, and therefore they don't put it on. And the others also are not included in the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. They're not full-fledged Yidden, and therefore they do not have the Ksharitem, and therefore they don't have the Ksiva. That's the second brisa. Third brisa of Adetanya Korin Bo, the opinion that says, no, you can read from such a Sefer Torah, is the following Tana. Hi Tana, who the Tanya? It's the Tana in the following brisa, who says, Lochin Svarim in Avdei Kochav Mechol Makom. You're allowed to go and take various Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs from Goyim. However, as long as they're written properly. He doesn't hold that you need them to be Lishma, but they have to be written properly. There once was a guy in Sidon, that's the name of a city, and he wrote them properly, so if you looked at them, they would be perfectly correct and properly written from the looking point of view, and none other than Rav Shimon Gamliel said, you're allowed to go purchase from this person, and you don't have to worry about that it wasn't written Lishma, because we can't assume that the guy wrote it Lishma, but the bottom line is that as long as it's technically a correct kosher Sefer Torah, the fact that he didn't write it Lishma is not a problem. Oh, that's the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, that's the third brisa that says, Yikare, you're allowed to go and read from it. Now, more questions, and says, really? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Ibud Lishman Bay, Ksiva Lishman Lo Bay? How can you tell me that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel doesn't require that the Ksiva should be Lishma? He requires that the tanning, the hide, be done Lishma. So Allah has Kama Vakama, he should require that the Ksiva should be Lishma. Where do we see that he required the hide to be Lishma? From the following brisa, the Tanya. It says, Tzipon Zov. Rashi says, we're talking here about the Tefillin. If you put on your Tefillin a gold casing, okay? So instead of putting it into a case, a cover, the box that the tefillin are in, instead of it being made of leather from a kosher animal, you made it out of gold. Or, oshetola aleim or behemotmeya, or you use the hide of a pig, made of pigskin. And the Rashi says the loshon oshetola is loshon taloi, a patch, kolomar, also tiv chipui kis shalehen or behemotmeya. You made the box that the parchments are put into, you made it from a pigskin. So it's no good, psulos. The Tanakh in this price says it's no good. Or behemoth tahora, however, it was made from a cow's skin, a kosher animal's skin. So then, sherus is good, but afal pishalo ibdon lishmon, even though it wasn't made lishma, even though somebody took the hide and fashioned it and didn't do it l'shem mitzvah tefillin, let's say, so it's still kosher. And along comes none other than Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, no. Afilu or behemoth tahora, even the hide from a cow is going to be pisulos, is not good. Achi abdul lishmon, unless you made it lishma. So here you clearly see that Rav Shimon Gamliel requires that the hide be made lishma. How can you possibly suggest that he says the ksiva doesn't have to be lishma? So how do we answer that? So Amar Rabba Rav Shmuel, Rabba, who's the son of Shmuel, said, Beger Shechazel Suro, Rav Shimon Gamliel had said, this third brisa that you can read it, it's talking about a person who was a ger. He wasn't an Ovei Kochavim anymore, but he returned Shechazar Lisuro Nebuch. He went back to being a non-observant Jew. As Rashi says, he went back with Surah to his bad previous life. And this happened in Sidon, and this was a ger that was there. The Chazar Lisuro, the Yodea de Bar Lishman. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, yeah, he knows the halachas. So even though he's unfortunately no longer observant, but he knows that if it's to be a kosher Sefer Torah, it has to be written Lishma. And therefore, even though he's no longer observant, he's gone back to his previous ways, so this Sefer Torah is still good because he understands and knows Lishma. More questions. He says, really? Is that really what you're saying? He goes back to Surah. He goes back to his bad way. So Koshake, the Havilei Min. So this guy has given up the right path. He switched over to become an Orthodox Yid, and now he's gone backwards, and he's back again in worship of Adazaris. So he's a Min. He's a heretic. He's worse. And how can you possibly suggest that he did it Lishma? So Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Ashi, we're not talking about an evil person. We're talking about a very good person. He became Jewish, but he's being persecuted, and therefore he goes shechoze l'sura mishum yira. As Rashi explained, it's all machmas yira. The yari l'nafsho, he's afraid they're going to beat him up. They're going to kill him. Shlo yargenu akusim. The kusim are going to kill him. Now he's no longer on their team, and therefore he really is an observant Jew. And therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, such a person, even though outwardly it looks like he's returned to his previous evil ways, but he really hasn't. And therefore, you can trust him if he wrote a Sefer Torah. And it's outwardly, it looks good. It looks perfectly fine. So then you can trust that it was done Lishma. So Rav Shimon Gamliel does require Lishma for the hide and certainly for the writing. But he says, such a guy who wrote it is really not a guy. He's a Yid, but he's returned to his previous ways only out of Yira, and that is acceptable. Okay, that's how you reconcile the three brises. Tanur Banan, we have another brise that tells us, Malin bidmeim ad kidei trapik, that you're allowed to pay a little bit more than their value. You can't go and pay an exorbitant amount, but you can pay a little bit more than the value. How much is a little bit more than the value? My trapek. So the Gemara says, Amar Sheshes Istra. This is a certain coin. Rashi explains, Sela Medina Shminish Besela Tzuri. This is a certain coin that was found in the Medinos that was 1/8 of the value of the Sela that was found in Tzur, in Tyre. Dainu Chatzi Dina, which is a half a Dina. And this is the Gemara in Ksubas that explains all this. So you can pay a little bit more. That the Goyim aren't going to impoverish the Jewish people by paying a little bit more, and it's not going to lead them to go and do this on a regular basis because they're not making such a big profit. Okay. Maisa Shaya, Hai Tayasa. Rashi explained that Tayasa is a Yishmaelis. There once was an Arab woman. Tayasa is female. So the Aise Chaisa de Tfile Lekame Dabai. She brought a bag, Chaisa is a sack cotton that was filled with tefillin, and she brought it to Abai to sell it to him. So he didn't want to go and pay an exorbitant price for the reasons that we mentioned. So Amal, he said to her, no, Yavisli, Reish Reish, sell to me each pair of tefillin, Reish Reish, Rashi says means Zug Zug Shalrosh Shalzor. So give me each pair of the Shayad and the Shalrosh, and sell it to me, and I'll give you tamri. I'll give you some dates for it. So she was not happy with that. Imaya Ziyara, Rashi explains that she was filled with Smalis Eris, who's venomous, poisonous. Nerov Kashi was so angry that Shokla, she took the tefillin bag that she had with all the tefillin inside of it, and Shtatinu Benare, she threw it into the river. So she thought it was worthless. She thought she had a big windfall over here by somehow acquiring all these tefillin, and now she sees that they're worthless, so she threw them away. So Abaye said he made a mistake. Omar, lo yiboyli, it wasn't profitable me zalzulinu be'apa to be mizalzul the tefillin. He wanted to obviously lower the price and didn't want to pay an exorbitant amount. So he said, oh, I'll give you some dates for them, implying that they're not very valuable. So he said it was wrong for me. Abaye said it was wrong for me to do this, to degrade it so much in her eyes, kulihai, so much so, and therefore she ended up throwing it into the garbage, into the river. Okay, next Mishnah. Mishnah says, Hamotzi es ishto mishum shemra. If a man goes and divorces his wife because Nebuch, there were allegations about her. As Rashi says, she also la'az nus. The people talking about it, Nebuch, that she was committing immoralities, she was committing infidelity. So she committed adultery. So if he says that's the reason why he divorced her, so the Gemara will discuss this, so la'achzer, he's not allowed to take her back. Why? Because the concerns, the Gemara will say that he'll find out that she didn't commit adultery, and he'll say, oh, if I had known that, I never would have divorced her. And this will cast aspersions, or actually make it that the second husband wasn't really married to her. When she gets divorced from him, she goes to marry somebody else. So Rashi will say that we're concerned that this will be a mekach toz, and that, in fact, she's not divorced, and the second husband will, in fact, be able to go and will not have been allowed to marry her. The children will be on Zaira, and it will cause tremendous problems. So therefore, that's why the rabbi said, if you said because of this reason, Mishum Motzi Shemar, you can't take her back. Tosel doesn't like it. He says, not really that the marriage wouldn't be good, because unless you specify specifically in the get that there's a tonight, so then we can't have implied tonight. But he says it will cast aspersions on the children and the second marriage, because he'll go around saying, I never would have divorced, I never would have divorced. So that's why we don't allow this. So if the husband says, I'm divorcing you because of this Motzi Shemar, then he's not allowed to take her back. Likewise, Mishum Neder, if the woman had taken upon herself Nedarim, so Rashi says, Shenodra, the Omar, he said, Efshi Be'isha Nedranis, I don't want to have a wife that's making Nedarim. Also, if he said that specifically, Lo Yaxi, for the same reasons that we just said, for the Motzi Shemar. Reviewed disagrees. Reviewed Omer, Kol Neder Shiyadu Bo Rabim Lo Yaxar. If it was something that was known to everybody, then you're not allowed to go take her back. As Rashi says, Shinidrasu Bo Rabim. Reviewed's opinion is that a Neder that's made publicly, you can't go and be mati that Neder. So as Rashi says, Lo Yaxar, he's not allowed to take her back in that situation, the Ein Lo Hafara, because such a Neder doesn't have a Fara. Rav Yehuda lo chayis l'kukula. He's not concerned about the aspersions or the actual creation of mamzerim that I just mentioned before in regards to Motzi Shemra or Nether for the Tanakama. Rav Yehuda is not concerned about kukula. Ella shlo yubod b'nos Yisrael perutzos b'nedarim. He doesn't want Jewish women going and making nedarim. He doesn't want Jewish women acting in an inappropriate manner. So therefore, hilkach. So pritzasu b'nedarim v'kansua. If she's acting immorally or she's making nedarim in public, so therefore, Rav Yehuda says you can't take her back if she did this publicly, because his whole purpose here is that the women shouldn't act in that way. But the Shelo Yadu Rabbi, but if it's an edit that nobody knew about, so then Yasi, because that's not a preetzus type of a thing. That's not an inappropriate type of a behavior that we want the Jewish women not to do. Okay, so you made an edit, so go and be mad to the nether, not be mad to the nether, but if it's not well known in public, so then that's not a reason to go and not be able to take her back. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rameir Omer, Kol neder shetzarech hakir as chacham lo yachzir. If it requires the hakir of a chacham, if it requires, in other words, a tamu chacham to go be matir the neder, so she would have to go lelech lenei chacham, as Rashi says, lovakesh pesach lecharata. The ein abal yochel ofir. The husband can't go be matir that neder, but only a tamu chacham can, a beis din can. So then he's not allowed to take her back. V'she'enot zarech hakir as chacham. But if the husband himself could be matir the neder, and in that situation he didn't matir the neder, he divorced her, then Rav Meir says you can take her back, yachzir. What's the reasoning over here? Rashi says in Libra Masa Lo Yachzir, the Rav Meir Sovar, that the reason Taima Mishum Kilkula, we're concerned over here about this, either the second husband is going to marry her and it wasn't really a divorce and the children of Mamzeru, or like Tosa says, casting aspersions on her. So therefore, Hilkach, Nadir She'ena Yochel Lo Hafir, if he's not able to be made for it, only Chacham be made for it, Abo Chacham Yochel Hatir, so then he can say Yochel Hu Lekalkel Es Aget by saying, I didn't know that. She goes to marry somebody else, and he's going to say, oh, V'yomar, ilo yisi yodeh, shechachim yol lahatir, lo yisi megarsha. I never would have gone and divorced her in that situation. And therefore, she'll either not be divorced like Rashi, or the Tosa says, he'll just cast aspersions on her. However, she'enot tzarech hakir as chacham, so elo hu yachol lahatir, he could do it himself, Rashi says, lo hu tshuchu chachamim lesser alav milach zira. Then the rabbis never said that you have to go this situation, not take it back, because everybody knows that a husband can be made mafir his wife's the darm, and therefore he can't say, oh, if only I'd known. Everybody knew that, so therefore that's not a concern. That is the shita of Rav Meir. Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo asru zeh el bnei zeh. Rabbi Elazar said, no, we don't allow one because of the other. Rashi explains, lo asru zeh shetzarech hakir aschachim lahachzir el bnei zeh sheino tzarech. So it's the other way around from what Rav Meir said. The bitzarech lo yalonu lachush lekalkel. If it was something that needed a talmud chacham to go mi mekalkel, we don't have to be concerned about that, because lefi sheino yochel lomar ilo yisi yodea shechacham yochel latiro lo yisi begar shecha. We don't say like Rav Meir had said that, oh, if he'd known that, he would have gone to the beis din and had to be mati the neder, because nobody wants their wife to go to the beis din. Anan sahadi, they know them wrote such it is baz ishto beis din bivnei chacham. And therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, you wouldn't have wanted her to go to the beis din, to the talmud chacham publicly, and therefore that would not be a reason not to take her back, but because of the gzera in private. However, as Rashi continues a little bit later on, in other words, there the rabbi said asru was kulan, because here shelo yomar en yoyisi yodea ilu yoyisi yodea shoyisi yochel hafer lo yisi megarshecha. Here he could say, oh, I didn't know that I'm allowed to be made for the neder, and therefore because of that concern, so Rabbi Elazar says we have to be concerned that he would say that and they either make the second marriage not a good marriage or cast aspersions on her. So therefore, because of the nedarim that he could be made for, so we also don't allow the nedarim that would have to go to a chacham, which he wouldn't have normally been bothered by. So Rabbi Elazar says we make gzera zeh mipnei zeh. Finally, Amar Yosef Yehuda, he said, Maisa B'Tzidon, the once was a Maisa Shoya, again in the city of Tzidon, B'Echa Shomar Leishto, a man said to his wife, Konim im eini migarshecha, I accept upon myself something. More will explain exactly what he did, that this should be a carbon to me if I don't go and divorce you, V'Gersh, and he divorced her. Now, V'Tiru lo Chacham Mishach Zirena, V'Bnei Tikkun Olam, and in that situation, which we'll explain when we get to the Gemara, the Chachamim permitted him to go and remarry her. And when we get to the Gemara, we'll understand this a little bit better. Let's just start off quickly the Gemara. I'm Rav Yosef Bar Minyuni, I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef Bar Minyuni said the name of Rav Nachman, that we said in the Mishnah, and I'll take your wife back because of Shemra or because of Neder. It's only talking about V'husha Amar Lo Mishum Shemra Ani Mos Yachah. He had to specifically state it at the time, even though he didn't write it down as a Tanai, but he had to specifically state it. And we turn to Mem Vav Amud Aleph with a continuation that he said, Mishum Neder Ani Mos Yachah. He had to have said that, even though he didn't write it down, and for the reasons that I just said, Rashi and Tosos from before. Now, what did we see that Rav Nachman's reasoning is? Kesavar, time of my, what's Rav Nachman concerned about? Mishum Kilkula. We're concerned that the second marriage will not be a valid marriage like Rashi, or that it'll at least cast aspersions upon like Tosos, and therefore, Yama Lahachi, Motzi Lekalkula. If he were to say this, that I'm divorcing you because of the nether that you made, or because of the aspersions that are being cast on your character already, so then he could say, if I had known that that's not true, if I know that I could have nullified your nether, the lo motzi mekalkula. So therefore, we don't let him go and take her back if he said that specifically, even though it wasn't a real Tanai. But if he said it specifically, I'm divorcing you because of your lies that's going on about you, or because of the Nedarim that you made, so then he can't take her back, and therefore there's no potential for Kilkul because he can't take her back. That's the first reasoning. That's Rav Nachman's understanding according to the first version. The second version of why Rav Nachman said it is because Amar Rav Yosef Ben Numi, Amar Rav Nachman, Tzarech Shiyomar La, he has to specifically say to his wife, Heve Yodas Shemishum Shema Ani Mosiecha. He has to go and tell her that I'm divorcing you because of this Mosi Shema Umishum Neder Ani Mosiecha. And because of this Neder that you made, I'm divorcing you. In other words, according to the second version, Kisavra, the reasoning of Rav Nachman is, time of my, Kadesh lo yu benos Yisrael peruzos barayas v'nedarim. It's not that we're concerned about the aspersions or that the second marriage will not be a valid marriage. It's because he wants to publicly declare, I don't want Jewish women to be like that, and that's why I'm divorcing you. And this is a message to all the Jewish women. Kadesh lo yu benos Yisrael peruzos barayas v'nedarim. They shouldn't act in an immoral way and shouldn't go around making nedarim. And therefore, Hilchach Tzorach Lameim Elohochi, he has to specifically tell her this. That's why I'm doing this. So therefore, it will make that public statement. And therefore, these are the two possible reasons, Mishum Kukula, or Mishum Pritzus, that the two versions of Rav Nachman say that we don't allow him to go and take her back. This is a good breaking point. With this, we conclude today's shiur. Tomorrow, we'll explain these two shitas of Rav Nachman a little bit more.